And welcome to Radio Woken. Always good to have you in the studio.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, we wanted to get you on because obviously many of us may have seen Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, and that's really kind of highlighted exactly what's going on. We'll come on to that in a bit. But you're a sub-postmaster in Knaphill Post Office. You've been doing that job since February 1986.
Yeah, seems a long time, but it's...
You don't look old enough, Sarge.
It looks like it was yesterday. Now, yes, I mean, I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've served the community, and the community served me well.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of
it. So how did you get into that role?
I was a telegram boy, so, you know, post office has been my whole life.
Mm.
And when the opportunity arose, I just took the post office on, post office, and I've been ever since. Yeah, and it's a life, it's a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Good environment. You meet lots of people, and you know, serve people, and people serve you. So it's really a good way of earning a living as well.
And it's a good way to connect with your local community.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, you know a lot of people in the local area.
When I took on in 1986, there were 25,000 sub offices.
Yeah.
Due to the nature of business and obviously modernisation, we're down to 11 and a half now.
Okay.
And that's with some of the part-time offices as well.
Okay. And I wonder, you know, we'll come on to, you know, the Horizon scandal and everything shortly, but so over the years, how have things, I mean, imagine 1986 to where we are today, you know, a lot of changes.
A lot of changes have happened, and obviously, you know, modernisation, computerisation was something that we welcomed because modern technology, you need to make use of the modern technology.
Yeah.
We used to do counting manually. It used to be calculators and and those little printers that printed receipts out for you and everything else. So end of the day, doing your end of the day was used to be a real problem and so forth.
Mm.
With modernization, with computerization, things have gone really good. You know, it's worked. It's saved time and made it more cleaner and neater.
And the role of the post office in the community, I mean, somewhere like Knaphill is one of those towns, I believe there's no banks in Knaphill, so do people come to the post office, do banking with you?
Yeah, and currently, you know, we're the only financial institute, really, in Knaphill. There is no banks. There used to be three banks, but they're all closed now. Mm. So, you know, we do all the banks, actually have encouraged, they've joined in, they've signed an agreement with the government and the post office to, when they close their branches, they have to have their service available. This is deposits and withdrawals.
Yeah.
That's cheques and cash available at the post office. So I don't think many people know that. And likewise, ATM machines are now kind of being phased out. At the
moment, really?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They are pulling away because the cash is not used as much.
Mm.
So therefore, ATMs only operate if the cash is withdrawn.
Of course, with the closure of banks, I mean, there's Knaphill and other towns that are sort of losing their banks, and that sort of last bank closes. I mean, that's going to cause a lot of issues, a lot of uncertainty for particularly, I don't know, vulnerable people, elderly people, maybe people that can't get out of the house, can't go to the bigger towns, people can't go online as well.
Yeah. There is another concept that's being looked at now. It's a banking hub, which is, I think, first one around there is opening up in Hazelmere.
Yeah.
The Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt's constituency. The concept of that is a standalone place where all the banks would work together so that they'll open Monday, there'll be Barclays, and Tuesday there'll be HSBC, Wednesday Lloyds, so that they can have somebody available to transact some of the complicated transactions for their clients.
I mean, it's important to have that face-to-face service, isn't it?
Very important, and you talk about vulnerable people. I mean, you know, the community used to rely on the post offices and you know, we used to share things and advise people and also learn things from people.
And what else do people typically use a post office for then in 2024?
2024, it's mainly dropping off their shopping returns.
Yeah.
And collecting their Amazons and so forth. So post office is one of the biggest mail order drop off and pick up point.
Yeah, busy time of year, particularly Christmas.
It wasn't that busy this year.
No.
But again, I'll say, like, online, some of the couriers use their own transport, so therefore it's not so much there.
Okay.
But still, it's still main hub for also, don't forget the domestic, your birthday cards and so forth. You know, we are still the main places that people can post their stuffs on.
Have you seen a reduction in the number of people sending you know, cards and things? I'm thinking a lot of people just send e-cards and things like that now.
It's a huge reduction. Yeah. I think about 30-40%
okay.
compared to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Mm. There is a lot of reduction in that.
Okay.
In that side.
Interesting. Well, it's good that you're there, the hub of the community. We're going to come on and talk a bit about what's happened. I mean, this is something that's really been highlighted, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, the Horizon scandal. We'll get your thoughts on that. We're going to talk more, but we're going to play some more music now. Great to have you with us today. So we've discussed you know, your role as a sub-postmaster. You've done that in that appeal for 38 years. And you're also the non-executive director of the Southeast for the National Federation of Sub-Postmasters. Someone can tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so NFSP is actually it's not a union because we don't have union status, but we are there for the members and you know yeah. we provide benefits for the members. Like for example, we are the main body that the post office talks to, mm-hmm. negotiates new contracts and so forth. So yeah, we are like a shop steward okay. as such. So and I am the director for Southeast, non-executive director for the Southeast. There's 10 of us around across the country.
So you get to sort of talk to a lot of that with some
post-office. That's right, yeah. So we have regular meetings. I mean, you know, we meet regularly and we had an annual conference is held once a year where over 200-300 people get together. And we also get the post office minister comes in, post office comes in. So, yeah, these things are discussed at national level.
Okay, so Mr. Bates versus the post office. This is a drama that was on ITV over sort of a New Year period. Four parts, really kind of, I suppose, opened a lot of people's eyes to what happened. Because I think up until this point, maybe we were aware of it as sort of outsiders and the Joe public. But actually watching this, you got to see the impact, the scale of the Horizon scandal, the impact it was having as well on sub-postmasters up and down the country. And I guess that's something that most of us may not realise the true extent of it all.
Yeah. It's actually caught us kind of off guard as well, because we were always assured that the software was robust.
Mm.
I say, you know, we talked to the top people in the post office and the government, but it was always pointed out that the software was, you know, 100%, that nothing can go wrong with it. And there wasn't any actually real evidence for us to actually dispute that. There were isolated cases, which we are now learning.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there were isolated cases. Like I said, there was 25,000 post offices when we first started modernization. Now there are 11.5. Mm. So from that, if you look at 700, it's not a great number.
Yeah.
And not everybody actually came and said, look, there's something wrong. They were suffering in silence.
Yes.
So that's the isolation bit that now is getting
forced. Yeah, and we saw that on the Mr. Bates vs. the Post Office TV show, that people were being told this and they're being told they're the only ones. And also when the discrepancies arose, then those sub-postmasters, they were liable to make up the
The way the Post Office works, we are custodian of a public purse, so we look after the fundings. And we used to be weekly, now it's a monthly balance. But we do a nightly declaration of our whatever we got in our drawers. It's like a till, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to make up good. If there's any shortages, then that needs to be made up good.
Yeah.
And if there's any overs, obviously, that needs to be reported. So these poor people, sub-postmasters, and one thing I like to clear is everybody says managers. We're not managers, because managers is somebody who's managed.
Yeah.
But we sub-postmasters are like agents, and the buck stops with us.
Yeah.
So if there's any discrepancy in the post office, in our till, we need to make that good. There's nobody else helping us.
Yeah.
It is
down to
us.
So it's down to you.
So we're not managers.
Yeah.
I know time and time again they say managers, but we're not managers.
Yeah.
We are sub-postmasters and agents. So at the end of the day, when it comes to it, and what happens, when you balance, when you roll over, the system doesn't allow you to roll over if you've got a discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to either say that you have the cash in draw, or there's no way it will let you roll over. And this is where some of the people were suffering, because they had to, you know, say the cash is in the draw.
Yeah. And then
they still reported it, but it was not taken to the seriousness you'd have done. The program now teaches us.
Yeah.
We're learning now from that. Hopefully, no other organisation will suffer this.
No, and some of these amounts as well. I mean, it was really people having to remortgage their houses, really impacting people's life, mental health. I mean, I think there was one person, I think, even took their own life over this, I believe. So it's really impacted people, and it continues to do so as well. And what were you thinking? And presumably you sat down and you watched Mr. Bates vs. the Post Office. So what were your thoughts when you were watching it?
Watching it, actually, I had to turn away from it because, you know, I kind of blame myself as well, that why were we not more proactive? We should have, but again, you know, in
it's hindsight, isn't
everybody
it? Yeah.
says that,
yeah.
You know, we should have been more proactive, we should have questioned more robustly, but we were relying on the judicial system as well, because, you know, end of the day, when we turn to court and things, you rely on the judges to actually come up and deliver a proper verdict.
And that didn't always happen.
It didn't always happen, because they should have asked these questions. Mm-hmm. Can the software be faulty?
Yeah.
And that question was never asked. You know, whenever there was a prosecution, they upheld Post Office's version.
I mean, it amazed me watching the programme, and I think everyone watching it realising the scale of it, but how can this sort of stuff happen? I mean, it's just unthinkable, isn't it?
This day and age, yes, it's unthinkable. With the modern facilities, technologies available, somebody should have come up and realised that there was some glitches. I mean, now bits and pieces are coming out. I don't know how truthful they are, that, you know, people knew at the top end, but on the whole, I think it was a system that's let us down.
Yeah. And locally, sub-post mistress of the Byfleet branch, Seema Misra.
Seema is, I've become to know her quite well now, because they moved into Woking after the unfortunate incident. Unfortunately, I mean, that would have been something that probably would have been involved more and more, but Seema was a London branch.
Yeah.
So Byfleet, West Byfleet, although they're in Woking Borough Council, Post Office, regional organisation, they were London region.
Okay.
So we never had much dealing with that, and there wasn't very many in the South East that I can actually think of that we had to investigate. There were little
pockets here and there,
but they were very minor.
Yeah.
And those were, you know, you could have taken as though a mistake that will come to light later.
And she was sentenced to 15 months in prison in 2010. And, you know, looking at her story, her eldest son's 10th birthday, she was pregnant with her second child. So she was going through a lot in her life. And then this on top of it. I mean, that must have had a massive impact
on her. Poor lady. I mean, you know, she had no clue. There's no way, you know, I've spoken to her. I did speak to her after she had resigned, because once you were resigned, then obviously you've accepted the responsibility.
Yeah.
And then later on she was sentenced, and, you know, I say they did come and live in Nappville after the incident had finished. I'm really pleased in a way that now the justice has been done and that she can clear her name.
Yeah.
Because she went in hiding.
Yeah.
Last year I had to do a video for her to urge her to come out.
Wow.
On social media, the people in Byfleet asked me, as a colleague and with my other role as a counsellor and so forth, if I could.
I mean, because for the community, as we've discussed, you know, the local people are going to have a really close relationship with that sub-post master or mistress, and it's, you know, it's this kind of, just that thing of, you know, somebody that's trusted in the community, and the effect of these allegations and what happened on not just, you know, physical health, mental health as well. I mean, that's massive.
people always tend to, and I don't blame them, they tend to think that, you know, if something's gone wrong, that person have done a crime or done something untoward. So obviously you looked at and smeared, and, you know, people do talk, and you can't stop that.
And
up and down the country, people have been spat at, been forced to move, leave their homes, leave their families. In some cases, even the family members think, oh, they've done it, you know?
I know.
What really, really comes to light is that the fact that if you look at most of those cases, majority of those cases, you couldn't even, you know, when you look at their lifestyle and all that, there's no way they would have taken any money, because that would have shown a new car or a new house or extra holidays.
I suppose if you look at it like what we know now, all different cases, but you look at sort of individual cases, it's maybe not so sort of apparent, I suppose.
No.
Just looking, but how's Seema doing now, though?
She's rebuilding her life. She's, you know, I've had a coffee with her, and she's trying to rebuild her life, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, no amount of money can compensate what she's been through.
No.
You know, being pregnant, being in prison, almost gave birth in prison, you know.
Yeah.
That's not something that you really want to...
No, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I still think that she's a brave lady that she's now facing.
Yeah.
And she's speaking up about what's happened. There was a time when she wouldn't come out to the post office. I remember when she came to us, it was always, you know, she was trying to see if there's nobody in the queue, dashed in, dashed out. Didn't want to be seen in to say she's in the post office.
Wow.
Doing all the transaction, which you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
But that sort of thing.
Wow. So I'm glad that she's, you know, rebuilding her life and just certainly won't have to go through that. Like you say, there's no amount of compensation that can kind of compensate for the horror of that. We're going to talk some more, Sarge. We're going to get another song on, though, and a bit of cigar.
Local news, local music, just for you. Listen online. See you there.
So we're here in the studio with Sarge Hussein, sub-postmaster from Knapp Hill, and we've been talking about the Horizon scandal and its impact locally on Seema, who was the sub-postmistress in Byfleet, and the impact it's had on her life. And that sort of story, you know, repeated up and down the country, and I gather more people kind of coming out the woodwork, having watched Mr. Bate versus the Post Office.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting people... And give Post Office their due now. They've said that if anybody thinks they've suffered because of Horizon, which wasn't highlighted, they're asking them to come forward.
Yeah.
And the compensation package will be available for those people. But majority of those people are probably now retired.
Yeah.
No longer in the business.
Yeah.
But the facility is available, which is a good in a way. That's the intervention with the government and everybody else saying that.
So do you feel that, you know, people are able to get that justice now? Or, I mean...
Yeah, the compensation package is there. And, it's because of the wide publicity and everything else is coming forward.
Yeah.
So I suppose, it's, in a way, it is kind of a comfort that they can, you know, at least not suffer the financial...
Yeah,
difficult.
But like I say, it's not just about the finances.
It's not finances. It's the impact. It's impact on the people's mental ability and everything else. That slur will never go away from your self.
Exactly. It's horrific to think what's happened and how it's impacted people's lives. And a lot of people may have watched Mr. Bateson versus Post Office and kind of thought, right, okay, you know, sense of anger developing and thinking, right, I'm going to boycott the Post Office. But that's not a good
thing. This is, again, what I'm hearing up and down the country, that people are saying that, you know, people are saying, oh, we're not going to support, we're not going to shop in the post office anymore, we're not going to use the post office, because there are other avenues available now, so you don't have to rely on the post office to transact your services. I'll just say, please, you know, do not abandon us, because as sub-postmasters, we rely on people walking through our doors. Our livelihood depends on that. We don't actually get paid for having a hosting a post office, so we pay our rates, we pay our rents, we pay our utility bills, and we pay our staff bills. So there's never any, you know, and it's like we get a little commission for each transaction we do. So we rely on people. So you won't be boycotting post office, you'd be actually boycotting us. The very people that you want to support.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's not going to achieve anything really by boycotting the post office. So that's a message there. Support your post office. You're there working round the clock. And, you know, what are your opening hours in the post office? You're open to the evenings? And
well, I'm open from 8:30 in the morning till 5:30 Monday to Thursday. And then Friday we have a little lunch break for an hour. But otherwise, you know, Saturdays 8:30 to 1:30. And there are other places that are open a bit longer.
Yeah.
But because where we are, it's not really, there isn't the traffic to allow us, you know, enable us to open longer.
Okay.
On that. But we are, you know, we're there to support the community.
Absolutely. And it's great what you do. And, you know, it's appreciated by so many people in the community. And you're part of the community. You know, people come to you for whatever they need, post office wise, and you're able to offer that service. And you'll continue to do so.
We will. I will. I mean, you know, this is one thing that people ask me a question. Like you said to me earlier, you don't look that old. I am actually a pensioner now.
Oh, okay.
So I drew my pension back in August. But I think I've got a long way to go yet. This is the only life I know.
Yeah.
And I love the community.
Yes.
And this is it. You know, in whatever it takes, form or shape.
It's a brilliant community in Knapp Hill. I mean, it's such a great area.
Brilliant communities all over. I think every sub-office is regarded as a pillar of the community.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do lots of transactions that you wouldn't be able to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
But sub-postmasters all around the country, all around Surrey, Woking, wherever, they are regarded as, you know, pillar of society.
Absolutely, there you go. And it's been really interesting to talk to you and to hear your sort of views and the message there. Support your local post office and come and see you. Come say hi.
I want to thank you both, Alex and John, for actually hosting this.
Yeah.
And I wish you success with Woking Radio.
Yeah.
It's a great program. And I do listen to it.
Oh, that's good to know.
Good to know. That's really good to know.
So, really lovely to speak to you and to hear your thoughts on the Horizon scandal and to know that you're there as a pillar of the community.
Have a good Sunday afternoon.
You too, as well. Do you got any exciting plans for this afternoon?
No. I think I'm actually meeting Seema.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Lord later on.
Okay.
Do a little piece for the Woking News and Mail.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Yeah. Well, wish her best from us here at Radio Woking.
Thank you,
Sarge. Here you go. Thank you, Sarge Hussain, joining us on the show today.